You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
The revelation of hidden correspondence shared between major New Zealand polluters and the private email accounts of those working in the Prime Minister's office has sparked a spiralling scandal. Why were the emails not revealed when such correspondence had been specifically requested if it existed? Were key law changes made specifically to end a high-profile court case against these polluters? How could the government's failure to provide such emails not be in breach of fundamental transparency rules, and what else might be hidden? The Greens now ask the Ombudsman to expand his investigation using the full breadth of his powers to determine what has gone down. And this week, the government walked back their plan to fund an import terminal for liquid natural gas with a levy or a tax on Kiwis' energy bills. While the policy is still going forward, how it will be funded remains an open question. And following the energy shock caused by the US war with Iran, the Greens highlighted their support for rewiring Aotearoa's ratepayers' assistance scheme to provide cheap loans for installing home solar systems, which they say would make widespread solar uptake accessible to more Kiwis, lowering energy bills and increasing energy security. So for our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke with MP Ricardo Menendez March about the ongoing scandal over the government's missing emails and energy policy.
Kia ora, Ricardo. Welcome back to the show. How are you going this morning?
Kia ora. Good. Yep. Getting on okay. Thank you.
All right. Last week, we talked about the scandal that's brewing around correspondence between the government and lobbyist groups and the back channels that this was going through that they weren't meant to be. I want to start our conversation today with a return to that and the Greens' call to widen the scope of the investigation. Could you talk about what needs widening here?
Yeah, so I think the key thing here is that most New Zealanders wouldn't want huge corporates such as Fonterra and Sir Energy to directly be able to influence our policies and our politics through back channels. And after revelations that the Prime Minister's staffer actually handled those documents where those corporates were trying to lobby the government through private emails, which were then not able to be effectively immediately identified in Official Information Act releases and or requests. We later found that effectively the Prime Minister's office hadn't disclosed when we asked about documentation via private emails the very specific documents that then came to light from Fonterra and Sun Energy. And we think this is quite serious because New Zealanders deserve to know who's having access to our policymakers. And this is why we've come out and called for the Ombudsman to open up a wider investigation into whether the Prime Minister's office is using private back channel emails to deal with, say, for example, corporate lobbyists or other groups who are trying to influence our policies. And it's a country that prides itself as ranking really low on the corruption levels and for having a, you know, an open democracy, we think that this would be a really good way to clear the air.
So the Green Party had specifically asked for documents such as this, sort of lobbying documents that might be going through private back channels?
That's correct. And this was over a year ago through parliamentary written questions. We effectively asked, very detailed question around documents received by staff employed in the minister's office and including through private emails. And so we were given a bunch of documents that were received through private emails, such as like a Briscoe's order, but we were not given the document specifically on, you know, the situation around Fonterra and Sun Energy trying to change our climate laws. And what this tells us is that they clearly were able to go through private emails and give us some documents that were handled through those back channels, but they did not disclose one of the more important documents, which is the one that eventually led to changes to our policies. And again, this is important because New Zealanders wouldn't expect that corporates would be able to lobby so effectively through back channels in a way that makes it harder for everyday people or for opposition MPs to be able to hold the government to account. And this goes back to the fact that we do need a broader investigation by the chief ombudsman over how the prime minister is handling, information through back-channel emails that make it harder for people to then hold the government to account.
And the Green Party, in the opposition capacity within Parliament, has full right to ask these questions. That's right.
That's right. So we can, opposition MPs, and in fact even any non-executive MP, government or opposition, can ask these parliamentary written questions to try to get information from members of Parliament. Members of the public could do official information at requests to try and get information from ministries and ministers themselves. The tools that we have just have a bit of a higher turnaround. And this is why after the revelations of how Fonterra and Energy were able to effectively lobby the government through back channels and us trying to actually ascertain over a year ago what correspondence had happened through those very same back channels and not having had a response that revealed that those very same documents from corporates were part of that, we think a broader investigation is in due course to clear the air. But also because I think, again, New Zealanders would expect that governments would not be using back channels to handle information handed to them by huge corporates who ultimately end up benefiting from law changes that the government is bringing forward.
All right, let's move on while we still have time. The government walked back their plans to fund their LNG import terminal through a levy, a tax on energy bills. They say this is part of trying to keep costs down, but this is also a project that they are pushing forward through certainly some headwind, the Green Party included in that. I want to know your first thoughts about this walk back, and then we'll dive into some details.
Yeah, look, the problem with this walk back is that it's not really a proper walk back. Someone will have to pay for it, and it will most likely end up being everyday New Zealanders one way or another. And this LNG terminal should not even be explored or considered. When we've got a government telling us that there is no money to address child poverty, there is no money to actually solarize the rest of our country, when there is, they tell us that there is no money for, more rapid, efficient, frequent, or more affordable trains that connect our towns and our cities, but yet they tell us there's, $1 billion worth for a LNG facility. It's baffling that the government goes with climate denialist policies as opposed to the things that we know that work. And so we're going to keep a close eye on the details of how exactly the government intends to pay for it and who will pay. But what we've seen from commentators and experts is that it is still deeply likely that every New Zealanders will have to pay for the costs of this LNG terminal one way or another, and that's disappointing.
Following the OECD report that saw the government change tack or speed up policy around the retirement age, which is a fundamentally large policy adjustment, there were also recommendations within that report around renewable energy, and it had skepticism around the LNG terminal as a long-term solution to any of New Zealand's issues. Do you feel like the fact that they changed tack on one of these but really poo-pooed the other of the recommendations says something about the government's intentions here?
Well, the government has never been, in my view, genuine about creating an energy sovereign nation, because if that was the case, they would be electrifying our country, they would be investing in rail, they would be investing in the things that actually help us build a more resilient economy. An LNG terminal does not do that, and it actually ends up being reliant on very, very volatile international markets. And so this is why I just don't have confidence that this is a genuine back down, but B, that this is a government that is genuinely listening to advice and best evidence when it comes to climate policies, or more importantly, actually planning for future generations ahead, not just short-term thinking or short-term slogans.
A few weeks ago, we spoke here on The Wire to Professor Basil Sharp, who's the director at the Energy Centre at the University of Auckland School of Business. And he proposed an idea of incentivizing companies' capacity to produce energy more than just the energy that they produce. And this was about security, which is also what the LNG plant is for. Would the Greens' policy push for energy security and how?
We will have more to say on our plans for energy security shortly. As you may have seen, we've long called for us to, for example, having a national electrification plan, which in and of itself also creates a more resilient energy sector. But we also think that more structural reforms need to happen, and you'll be hearing about those shortly once we roll out our own election announcements.
And finally, in the Greens press report on the LNG rollback, I saw the mention of the ratepayers' assistance policy to support solar, and I was interested what that might look like. What's the policy going on here?
Yeah, so Rewiring Aotearoa has long called for a ratepayers' assistance scheme. Basically, these are low-interest loans that could be provided and allowing people to effectively electrify their homes. And the benefit of these low-interest loans is that, A, they're far more affordable for people. And what Rewiring Aotearoa found is that the benefits in terms of, for example, seeing a decrease in your power bills, even with the sort of repayments, is that over a period of, say, 20 to 25 years, people could see a $25,000 benefit. But more importantly, they'll also see a country that is less reliant on fossil fuels, more resilient, and this is part of a plan to, like I said, electrify the whole of the country. And so we've supported the policy from Rewiring Aotearoa, and again, you'll see a theme appearing in our announcements and our policies that we're supporting, and we'll have more to say about the details of what we think assistance to ratepayers could look like when it comes to enabling them to electrify their homes.
In terms of this policy, I mean, we've seen huge solar uptake in places like Australia, and that's enabled them to work on storing the energy that is then created through solar and creating a pretty large network of possibilities. What would the possibilities open up in New Zealand if this policy was widely taken up by people?
Yes, I mean, having even something like low-interest loans with flexible terms and available actually for low-income homeowners as well would yield massive benefits to all of the community, because it's also about taking power back from the gentailers and having a community grid across the country where that electricity is not in the hands of huge corporations will yield benefits to our communities. And like I said, this is something that we hope to have more to say on soon, but we're very committed to taking power back from the hands of the gentailers and enabling communities to have more access to power and to do that through renewable means. And the loans for ratepayers that Rewiring Aotearoa has proposed is something that we are absolutely behind, and we'll come up with the policy details of what that looks like for us shortly.
One of the things that personally gets me very interested in this is the idea of widespread, very cheap electricity. Solar is becoming very effective in this current day and age and very cheap to produce. Mm. There's the Lake Onslow scheme, pumped hydro, that was thrown out by this current government but is being brought back in by a private consortium. And one of the things of the scheme is effectively using cheap energy when it's not being used by the public in times of the day when energy is very cheap and being produced through something like solar to then pump the energy up a hill, effectively, pump the water up a hill to then use it later on. Schemes like this are very interesting and would keep New Zealand's security against something like energy shocks, which this LNG plant is also trying to do. They're trying to do similar things here, but the government is choosing LNG over something like pumped hydro.
That's right. Well, and LNG is also far more vulnerable to international markets and the volatility within those, which means that, you know, going through the LNG route actually is far less stable, far more vulnerable to even, say, you know, the war in Iran continuing or completely, you know, spiraling even further out of control. And this is why looking at other solutions, including, for example, having a genuine electrification plan and one that allows all households to have access to solar energy is important. But I also want to underscore the role of central government in this electrification plan to also build our public infrastructure with solar in mind. And that looks like Kaingawa homes being built with solar energy, solarizing our hospitals or schools, marae, et cetera. And so, yep, homeowners should have access to the low interest loans, but more importantly, I want to sort of reiterate the role of central government in investing in having the public infrastructure also solarized to make us a more resilient energy nation.
All right. Thank you very, very much for joining us this morning, Ricardo.
I look forward to
hearing more about these electrification policies.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you too.
Take care.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March discussing the Greens' call to expand the investigation into the government's missing emails, the government dropping plans on how to fund the liquefied natural gas import terminal, and the Greens' support for a policy to provide cheap loans to make home solar more accessible.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.